Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:08 PM. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 21st. Well, when we look at markets today, it was certainly a day of two halves, where we had a significant drawdown in a number of asset classes in early trading, but they were pretty much all reversed by the close. But one thing that I think is particularly interesting is some of the moves that we saw in Asia today, where the selling pressure had kicked off, but then there were assets that had gone up on the day. So, for example, Whitehaven Coal, which is the primary futures for Australian exports of coal, continue to recover. It's up from lows in the right at the nadir back in August. Of about $47, which coincided with the low from 2016, up to 84 now. So that's a pretty impressive advance. In the context of the decline that we saw from the peaks back in 2011, though, it's still not even halfway up in terms of that decline. And the reality is that with this acrimonious dispute between Australia and China, it's probably hurting China more than it is Australia. So when we then think about what's going on in China, well, they're having rolling blackouts. And it's not just blackouts, but it's also about heating. China tends to get extremely cold winters, particularly in the north of the country. And with this lack of heating, it's putting a great deal of pressure on regular consumers. But that's just a further example of how much the government there puts its own priorities ahead of that of the population. So nonetheless, the Chinese stock market was in positive territory today and pushing up towards the upper side of its range. The Taiwanese market was also in positive territory, and this continues to look like a bull market overall. When we think about other areas of Asia, well, the Japanese market was in mildly negative territory, but it's been very inert for most of this month. And this isn't the first time that we've seen that, and particularly when we look at that range between approximately June and October, it didn't really go much of anywhere, but that inert period of trading did give way to an extraordinary bout of volatility relative to the inertness. And I think that is something we need to pay attention to, that when we do get these rather quiet times in markets, regardless of what market that is, it sets up the potential for a significant breakout. And I think that's most particularly relevant at present in the Dow Jones. It's been confined to a range of about 300 points now for more than a month, and it was well off its lows in here today. That was equally true of the Nasdaq. The Nasdaq had pulled back rather sharply at the beginning of trading and then reversed most of the decline. It had gapped lower relative to the close that we had on Friday. The focus of attention right now in terms of where risks are has been the UK, but the pound, for example, was way off the lows in here today. So there were a lot of fears over the weekend about this new strain of COVID-19, which tends to be, or at least is assumed to be, much more transmissible than the current one. And so far, at least, there is the perception that it's not more deadly than the previous example. So it's quite likely that this new variant is going to spread faster in just the same way that the current variant has overcome the earlier versions of the virus. And this is very natural. This is exactly how viruses tend to proliferate. They come up with a new and exactly the same way bacteria also proliferate. A new evolution occurs that allows the whatever the vaccine or the virus or bacteria to proliferate and to overcome some of the obstacles that the previous version had encountered. Then it gets a much easier path to increasing. So all of this talk about cutting off communications, particularly for freight with the UK, it's certainly unlikely to be particularly effective. People have been streaming out of London immediately ahead of the lockdown. That's exactly what happened in Wuhan back in January. They closed down the city, but before that, 5 million people had left, and they took it all over the world. So the reality is that people have been leaving London. It's already in Italy, and it came from South Africa. So the chances are that if this really is a more transmissible version of the original virus, then it will quite likely overwhelm any of the other viruses out there. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it is more deadly. And we are certainly getting a lot of doom-mongering in the media, but the other side of the side of this argument is that this is nothing like what we had in February and March. We now have vaccines, and there's no reason to believe that the vaccines are going to be any less effective. The Nasdaq Biotech Index was in positive territory today, which would lend some credence to that argument. If investors were really worried about the efficacy of the vaccines, we could anticipate that the biotech index would have taken a hit in here today. Of course, what we also had over the weekend was the announcement that the US government is going to have a $900 billion stimulus package and will be sending checks to people ahead of Christmas. Well, considering that Christmas is only 4 days away, it means they're printing them already. And when we then think about the broad S&P 500, it has been rather inert, but it has held the break above the 3,500 point level. What I see increasingly is evidence of commodities doing rather well. Lumber, in particular, has been very strong. If we look at just the front month, because we did have that gap with the contract change, it's at new all-time highs. As we go back then and look at the long-term continuation chart, we have a very lengthy underlying base formation, and the reality is that we've had a really quite incredible advance over the course of this year, and it is now at a new plateau. It's quite unlikely we're going to see lumber prices back below $500 anytime soon, and the reality is that governments are panicking. They really feel like they need to do whatever is necessary to spur economic reflation. And one of the easiest ways to civilize populist uprisings is to give people mortgages. So we can anticipate there's going to be a great deal of home building. That's why lumber prices are rallying. The home builders index looks like it is just consolidating in the region of the previous peaks and unwinding the short-term overbought condition. Then, when we think about some of the precious metals, well, platinum today was way off its lows. It certainly had some selling pressure in early trading, but then recouped most of the loss and is back above the $1,000 level. It's much more of an industrial metal than a precious metal, and it has been waiting for an industrial argument or for why economic growth should be recovering. Of course, we know what that is. It's that there's going to be a lot more stimulative action that persists well after vaccines are rolled out. So that is really why we're seeing this rebound on assets overall. One thing, of course, that I think is particularly relevant to highlight in view of the rebound that we saw on Wall Street was the reversal of the rally we saw on the dollar. This is, I think, one of the biggest changes we've seen in at least a decade for the US stock markets. Rallies on Wall Street are now highly dependent on a weak currency, whereas that is exactly the opposite of what we had in the last few years. Whereas that is the normal condition that we'd come to expect from both Europe and Japan. But the euro, for example, was in well off its lows in here today, back above the 122 area. European stock markets were weaker, but of course that is also a reflection of the fact that they closed well below Wall Street, so they are likely to be in positive territory tomorrow. So we've seen a complete change of the guard, whereas Europe had been perennially weak and completely dependent on nominal price appreciation really being given by the weakness of the currency. We're seeing the exact opposite today. These markets are tending to rally whenever the dollar weakens and the euro strengthens. And Wall Street, on the other hand, I think it's just perhaps the most or the easiest way to highlight it is to look at it in terms of euros. And when we look at Wall Street in euro terms, it is still below the peak from back in February. So this is, I think, something that is likely to shape the recovery that we're seeing internationally. The dollar is looking increasingly likely it is going to trend lower. US Treasury yields continue to look like they're going to trend higher. And the reality is that investors are going to look for safe havens outside of the dollar. Well, that is favoring developed markets internationally, whether that is Europe or Japan. It's also likely to favor emerging markets. The Indian market today was in negative territory. It was one of the markets that had pulled back on that increasing virus news, but it's overbought in the short term, so it has ample room in which to consolidate, and it may yet be in positive territory tomorrow based upon the rebound that we've seen on Wall Street today. If, and of course, that the ability of markets to rebound is in part to do with just how much of a threat this new variant of the virus in fact represents to the efficacy of the vaccines. If it doesn't represent any kind of major threat, then markets will shake it off, regardless of the lockdown measures that we're seeing that are likely to last for short periods of time. But the reality today is, I was out yesterday, I saw lots of people shopping. The traffic on the freeways was about normal, and normal for back in 2019 as opposed to 2020. I think the vast majority of people have just given up on social distancing. They're sick of it. And this fatigue with the way that the lockdowns are being enforced, the uneven way in which they're enforced, if they're enforced at all, and the nonsensical nature of these edicts that are being passed, the lack of communication, people are just sick of all of that. The ineptitude of the political class hasn't been highlighted in such stark terms in a very long time. And people appear to be just simply taking it upon themselves to do whatever they want. And that is the reality in a lot of different countries. So the reason for that, the willingness of consumers to simply set aside all of the concerns of 2020 is simple enough. They believe that vaccines will make it all better. And as long as that belief remains credible, then we're likely to continue to see evidence of inflationary pressures mounting, because public policy is very clearly pointed at the 10% of people that are still unemployed, whereas the other 90% of people that are employed are getting back to work and consumption. The continued rebound that we're seeing right across the commodity complex, whether it is in the industrial resources or in the agricultural commodities, soybeans, for example, has pushed clearly through the 1200 cent level, and this is also a reflection of the La Nina weather environment in Latin America right now, but it is certainly pushing higher. When we think about the wheat price, it isn't as dynamic on the upside, but it has this clear evidence of base formation. It rebounded really rather impressively off its lows about 2 weeks ago, and it's continuing to firm from this 600 cent level. So there is clear scope here that what we're going to see next year is a fresh bout of commodity-led inflation. And of course, that is also something that has been out there on the horizon as a result of relying on China for manufacturing for a long time. China exported deflation, and as it moves progressively more political rather than economically focused, it has the clear potential to also export inflation. That is not something that we have seen for an awfully long time, but it is a clear possibility as we head into 2021. And I think that is what commodities are showing us. The clear reliance of Wall Street on a weak dollar to supplement nominal price appreciation is also, a significant factor. But then, of course, we have the desire for alternatives like gold and then also Bitcoin. And Bitcoin was really quite volatile as well in here today. But unlike most assets which had pulled back initially, Bitcoin had rallied initially, then it declined, and then subsequently recouped some of the loss. This continues to represent a breakout, however. And when we look at the weekly chart, we have this three-year consolidation, the clear break above the 20,000 level, and subsequently, now the big question is it going to hold that break above the 20,000 level? The next time we see very clear downward dynamics on Bitcoin, well, it will open up the potential for consolidation. In the big advance in 2017, we had plenty of examples of consolidation. And on a percentage basis, they were all pretty similar. So we haven't had the first consolidation following the breakout yet, but we will have a consolidation, and the ability of the price to hold the breakout, that will be the true test of whether we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.